You probably have heard the phrase, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail, by Benjamin Franklin. It sounds like a word of wisdom because it seems so right to us, to everyone. The world is telling us to plan, and we take hold of this wisdom, so-called wisdom, and tell our children to plan. We want children to make plans for their lives, especially high school students. We want them to plan for college and to plan for work. Because we know that without a plan, they will struggle to complete their education as well as to get into a job that will be a successful career for them. This term about planning is also used in the church in an inappropriate way, but nevertheless is here. And we hear Christian leaders telling us that because God is a master planner, he planned the whole universe. He plans for your life and my life, the intricacy of what happened in the universe, what is happening here, is due to God's divine plan. And so it is in the church. Pastors are talking about what is your plan for the church, what is your plan for your ministry, this and that. Laity wrote, as a new pastor coming to the church, what is your plan? In fact, they are citing a verse in the scripture, Proverbs 19, verse 21, to say that. But actually, when you look into Proverbs 19:21, this is what it said. Man makes many plans in his heart, but only God's purpose prevails. And so, because we take on a human wisdom, a human concept, we want it to happen, right? So we take a verse of the Bible that has come close, and then we twist it to make it like what we want to hear. That's all. Often happen in the church, and as pastor, I apologize for my mistake there, and I apologize for the mistakes of pastors, scores of pastors that have been here and preached that to us. Jesus said there's only one thing in life worth considering for you. And that is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. And James, follower of Jesus and Jesus' brother, closely saying that as well. And he pushed planning into second place in life. If you have your Bible, turn with me to James chapter 4. We're going to read a few verse 13 to 17. I'm reading from the English Standard Version because my Bible is taking a vacation in Yuba City. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanish. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. What James is saying here to the church and to you and to me, he is saying this. We are rushing to make plans for our lives, to do this and to do that and to be wealthy and to be famous and to be powerful. We made living here on earth the number one thing. And James said, that is totally wrong. That is not right, because that is based on human wisdom that we study about, and it is not of God. He says, as Christian, we must know that life is the first thing. That's in verse 14. That as we know, life is short. It's like a morning mist. You know, you go in the winter, you go into the valley, you see the morning mist there. As soon as the sun rises, the sun shines into the valley and the mist disperses and disappears and vanishes. Your life is like that. My life is like that. God is the source of life. What he's talking about here, that we come from somewhere. This life that we have come from somewhere, and we must take hold of it. Why we are here, and why it is just a moment. The word that he used to know here in verse 14 is telling. It is the verb epistemai, from which we get the word epistemology in the English language. It is about knowledge by digging out all the facts behind certain things or ideas, or in this case, about life. The knowledge by investigation and research what life is all about. Epistemai verb itself derived from another verb, histemi, which means to stand or to come upon a place and stand. So epistemai here, what James is talking about here is like you are going about your life, walking around, searching for it, and once you come upon a place that you know this is the place, then you come stand on there, build your life on there, and that is what epistemai is, or epistemology is. And we are to look for life like that. We must know the reason we are here on earth and why we are here, who sent us here, and for what purpose? And once we know that, take hold of that, build our life on that, then you go on making plans. But before anything else, know that life. So this essentially what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, the reign of God, and his righteousness. It is an investigation of human origin and destiny. This has nothing to do with human cosmology or a social construct of what it means to be alive as a Hmong person, a Lao person, or American. Epistemology goes deeper. It delves into the foundations of being human and the very purpose of creation, of your creation, my creation, your being here and my being here. To know the maker of everything, the maker of you, and to have a relationship with him. Because when you look into your life, you will know for certain that there is a source of life. Just like the song that we sing, we breathe in you, we live in you, the purpose we are here is because of you, and come to have a relationship with our Creator, who lives eternally, and eternal life is in him. And once we come to know that, we will come to distinguish between two lives. One is the temporal life that we live here. It's only 70 years, 80 years. If you were very healthy, you might live 120 years, but most will die in 60, 70 years. Daniel and I are already there. That is one life. The other life is the life that you found in God, in the eternal God, the source of life, who sustains the universe and everything. And then you come to realize the life I have here is just very short. But the life that is in him is eternal. And how do I get from this life to that life over there? James said, knowing that, search for that, found that, and build your life on that. That is the first thing. And that is epistemology. Epistemai. Do that first, please. That's what James is calling all the believers in the church to do. Because God is the source of life. The separation from God. Eternally. That eternal separation from God. Jesus referred to it as hell. Because that is the place where you can mourn the rest of your life. You groan the rest of your life. The Gnashid teeth. You're biting your tongue off. You're wishing you have found God when you're alive. Because you will live eternally without that relationship with God. And that is just hell. The second thing that James talked about here is that then you can come to your planning. Once you find out the foundations of who you are and why you live and your existence, the origins of life and the destiny of humanity, then you can make plans consistent with that. Because that is the questions of where to live, what to do, how to spend your short time here. Living here on earth is essentially those three things. Where you're going to live, what you're going to do, how you're going to spend, enjoy this short time that you're here. It is like finding a rock. Now I found the rock. It is sure going to stand the wind, the storm, the torrential rains, and all the problems, and I built my life on it. Now I know where I stand, where I'm going to build my house. So I will think about, okay, what kind of pole I'm going to set up, what kind of plant, what kind of wood I'm going to put it on, this, and build my house, because I know I already found the place. That is what planning is about. Don't put that first, put that second. All the planning should be second. That will be consistent with Proverbs 19:21. It said, we made many plans, but pray that God's will be done. Just following Jesus as he prayed in Gethsemane, not my will be done, but yours, Father. Unlike Jesus teaching us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, the song that Tony just sang, hallowed be your name, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm pursuing your will, doing your will. Let your will be complete in my life. And then turn around, teach our children that way as well, to pursue God, to know life. Now, let's just apply that into our daily situation. What James has said here in verse 16 is telling. He used a word, alazonia, that is translated in the NIV as brag, or braggings. And here in this today English translations as arrogance. Basically, in the Greek, it said empty pride. It is hollowness. It is a puff of air that you're bragging about. It is a chase after the wind, as King Solomon put it very clearly. What he's saying is this. This life that we have here on earth, doesn't matter how much money you have, how big your house is, how big your estate is, how prideful you are, how people say you are king or you are queen or you are this or that, whatever name, whatever label they give to you. And you may be very proud of, I'm this, I'm that. All that is just empty words. Why? Because it's just like a mist that will disappear as soon as the sun hit on it. It will vanish. Compare that to eternal life that God has in store for you. For those who know him and trust him and come to faith in his son Jesus and have a relationship with his son Jesus. Because this is what Jesus said in Matthew 16:26-28. He said, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Forfeit your life, your eternal life. Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. What is Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about here that this life that you have is so short. And this short life, if you're able to amass the whole world, you become the owner of the world. And it only lasts 70, 80 years. What if you have everything and then you die? And when the Son of Man comes, Jesus' second coming, He comes and he's gonna give reward. And the reward he will give is to raise people from the dead and give them eternal life, to be with God, to rule the universe with Christ, to sit on throne with Christ. That is the reward. That's the eternal reward. Christ said, I will give. And what if you miss that? And Christ come and you're not waking up and you're not getting up to receive this reward. And Jesus said, think about that. It will be a dreadful moment if you think about it. And that's what James said here. Set your heart knowing life, the source of life. Connect yourself to the source of life. Make sure that you have possessions of the source of life and be part of that source of life, which is eternal life, that God himself. Then you can go on living. If you don't have that, Jesus said, it means nothing. It means nothing. So a message to our young man, young woman here. You do plan. You need to plan. But plan according to this word. Make sure you have God in you. This whole message reminds me of one picture. The Israel in the wilderness. When they're in the wilderness, they built the tabernacle according to God's plan, and God said, I'm gonna be in there. I'm gonna talk to you. I'm gonna be with you all the days. But God also said, you see the pillar of clouds that is there during the day to give you shade and to give you, comfort. And also the pillar of fire that is there in the night to give you light, to show you the way. God said, I'm in you, but I also provide protection over you. Secure yourself in me. You should not secure yourself in the day of reckoning, the day, the evil days is coming. What Jesus is saying, the Bible is saying, is this. The evil days, the day of problem is coming into you. It may be death. It may be pain and suffering. It may be an illness, terminal illness that you won't get out of. How are you going to insure against that? Well, humanity said we insure against that by knowing how much it costs. You know, if my burial will cost $100,000, I go and buy a $100,000 insurance policy to cover that. Okay, then cover that. Then what? Well, if I want my children to live well after that, I'm going to buy $1 million policy so that $100,000 will cover my final cost, and then the $99,000 will be for them so that they can live life in luxury. Yeah? Then what? See, the human thinking is like that. Plan for that. Plan for that. Plan for that. But what God is saying, that I already taken care of that. I'm in you. Not only in the middle of the church, but I'm inside you, inside of you. I dwelled in you, not only among you, but in you. My spirit is in you. You are in me. You are part of me. You get your life directly from me, and I'm breathing life into you, and you are part of me. Know that for sure. The other thing is that know that I sustain the whole universe. Not only the bird, not only the flower, but you and all of the universe. I am in control of that. Your insurance should be connecting with me. And that is the grand picture that you should take home today. That Christ, God, is in you, breathing in you, giving life to you. Take hold of that, my God is with me here. But also know that God is taking care of everything outside there. Your security is in God. That is the planning that needs to take place in you and in me. Let's stand up and pray. Father, as we come together before you and hear your word, we know that you love us so much. You breathe into us, you live in us, and you invite us to live in you and to find our living in you. Because this life is precious, more precious than anything. And the Lord Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like an expensive, precious pearl that once you find it, you'll sell everything and just take hold of it. And that is the message today. You want us to take hold of you because you, the creator, the sustainer of the universe and of our life, you are the source of everything, and we should, when we find you, we just take hold of you, and that means everything. Help us to go home with that and rejoice with that and live with that and plan our life consistent with that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the food and the drink that we will have and have fellowship and be with us and watch over us. Bring us back again next week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.